Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you in the name of our risen Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Father in heaven, we thank you for today. We thank you for your love and your mercy. It's new to us every morning. Father, we thank you for the gift of faith. We thank you that you called us and that you have redeemed us, that you have claimed us, and that you continue to grow us in our walk with you. Father, we thank you for your scripture because your scripture gives us a very clear picture of the situation that we are in prior to being saved and the process that you lead us through in our sanctification, in our coming closer towards you, in our walk with you, and then ultimately of when we will see you face to face. And so, Father, we pray now that you would take captive our hearts and our minds, Father, that we would not be distracted about anything from yesterday or anything about tomorrow or even later on today. But Father, take captive our hearts and our minds right now. Plant your word deep within us, that it would spring forth, that it would bud and that it would flourish, and that it would bear the fruit that you desire for it to bear. Father, we pray all these things in Jesus' name, according to your will and for your glory, and all of God's children, we all say, amen. Amen. Brothers and sisters, I want to encourage you to open up your worship folders. Inside your worship folders, there's a place there for discipleship notes. I really want to encourage you to get out a pen or pencil because I think that God's going to speak to you through his word today. I really do. And I think that's probably why you're here this morning, is because you want to hear from God through his word and through his sacrament. And so I want to encourage you to get out a pen or pencil, because as God lays thoughts on your heart, on your mind, what I've always found the best practice to do is to take note and to jot it down. That way, you know, you don't lose it so quickly, and then you can reflect on it, you can pray over it during the week. At the bottom of the discipleship notes section, there's some suggested readings for during the week. They're short, about 15 verses apiece, and they're just to help you prepare for next week's worship, and just to help you in your walk. So I want to encourage you to that. I don't know how many of you are friends with Judy or Ernie Kramer on Facebook. I am. And so recently they posted a picture, I think it was from their last night in Hawaii. And it was a beautiful, beautiful picture. You can, in your own mind, if you didn't see their posting, you can picture in your own mind probably what a beautiful night in Hawaii would look like, you know, with the sun setting and just, they were beaming from ear to ear with great smiles. They're sitting at a table there, and it looked like they had a great meal and were just having a great time. And, you know, I know Judy and Ernie. I'm getting to know them better. I've been here 2.5 years now, so I'm kind of getting to know people a little bit. And so as I look at that picture, I can sort of appreciate them and what this is all, you know, what that picture represents. But Judy and Ernie, when they, you know, I was on a youth trip about 30 years ago. And an ambulance went by when we were actually going out to Iowa to take the kids skiing at sundown. And an ambulance went by, and one of the kids in the van said, "Let's pray for the ambulance and for whoever they're going to be taken care of." And so I want to take that as a teaching opportunity. Whenever you're on the road and you see an ambulance go by, or a policeman or fireman go by and they've got their lights on, they're going to go help somebody. And so I want to encourage you, I want to just take advantage of that, and I want to encourage you to pray for those people and who they're going to be serving. Amen? Amen. Amen. So, you know, when I look at that picture on Facebook of Judy and Ernie in Hawaii, I have an idea about them and about, you know, their story. But when Judy and Ernie, when they look at that picture, holy cow, you know, in their mind, they're seeing all sorts of pictures that led up to that picture. Pictures of challenges, pictures of success, pictures in their mind of doubt, of fear. And this is true for all of us. And the beautiful thing about the reading from Galatians for today is that it is a picture of what it is for an unsaved person to become saved and then to walk closer with God. And so it's a picture, but it's also sort of a collage of pictures. And I want to draw our attention, because I think there's four clear pictures in the text for today. And so I want to draw our attention to these four pictures. Let me read this for us again from Galatians chapter 4, verses 3 to 7. In the same way, we also, when we were children, were, here comes the first picture, we were enslaved to the elementary principles of the world. But, here comes the second picture, when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, so that we might receive adoption as sons. And because you are sons, here comes the third picture, God has sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father. And then lastly, here comes the fourth picture. So you are no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, then an heir through God. And the first picture is the picture of rebellion. And we don't have to really try to imagine in our minds what this picture of rebellion looks like. Scripture describes it for us very clearly. In Galatians chapter 4, verse 3, it said, we were enslaved to the elementary principles of the world. Romans chapter 8 says, the natural mind is hostile to God. Those who are in the flesh cannot please God. And in Ephesians chapter 2, it says, you were dead in your trespasses and sins. Brothers, this picture of rebellion is not a pleasant picture to look at. And that's something we have to acknowledge, that it is not a good picture. And we have to understand that God looks at this picture and he says this is not good. Because when we come into this world because of original sin, there's a couple of things about us that are simply or true. We are enslaved to sin. Sin is our master. Not only are we enslaved to sin, but we are at enmity towards God. You know what that means, to be at enmity towards somebody? That means if you could, you would fight them. If we could, in our unsaved natural disposition, if we had the opportunity, we would like nothing better than to make a fist and punch God right in the nose. And that's exactly what we do through our sinful behavior. That's exactly what we're doing to God. We're at enmity towards God, we're enslaved in sin, and we are eternally condemned because Christ has not entered into our hearts yet. That is how we come into this world. And the temptation is to look and say, well, yeah, Pastor, that's fine, but that's how I used to be, right? Before I got baptized, before I got saved, because now I'm not like that anymore. I'm actually pretty good. I'm actually kind of a pretty good person right now, right? And if you find yourself thinking that, I want to disabuse you of that notion this morning. Now, I'm your pastor and I love you, but I have to say this for my sake and for your sake. Remember what the prophet Isaiah said under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. The prophet Isaiah said that the people of Israel were before God, like he described it like a fire that has nothing but smoke. Now, what kind of fire is that? It doesn't produce any heat. There's really no flame to speak of. It's just smoke. And unfortunately, the smoke of this fire is going where? It's going right up into the nostrils of God. Now, I don't know if you've ever been camping before, built a fire, stood around a fire, but when you have the smoke blowing in your face, what do you try to do? You try to get out of the way. You try to push it away. You don't want anything about it. And Isaiah, to make the point painfully clear, says that this happens all the day long. Brothers and sisters in Christ, God, out of his love for us, has given us the means of grace. He's given us, for example, the gift of baptism. And in the gift of baptism, a parent has the opportunity, has the blessing of knowing that through this gift that God has given, that they can be sure that their child is saved, that their child has been adopted, that their child's sins are forgiven. Now listen to me. But unfortunately, there are so many people who would call themselves Christian who have set that gift aside. Who have chosen instead to say, I'm not going to let my son have this till they're 10 or 12 years old. And then God has to watch day in and day out as this means of grace that he has given to the church is being denied and being set aside by these parents. And brothers and sisters in Christ, we do this all in many and different ways. This is the picture of rebellion. But praise be to God, God has more pictures that he wants in his photo album of you. Because the second picture is the picture of redemption. Let me read this verse for you from Galatians chapter 4, verses 4 and 5. It says, "But when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his son, born of a woman born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, so that we might receive adoption as sons and daughters." There's a powerful phrase there, the fullness of time. What does that refer to, that phrase there, the fullness of time? I want to encourage you to write this down, Daniel chapter 9, verse 24. Because in Daniel chapter 9, there's a prophecy that Daniel makes. And it's a prophecy of 70 weeks. Now, there's how many days in a week? Seven. So 70 times seven is how much? Not higher math. 490. Exactly right. 490. And I'm not going to go through the whole prophecy with you. But basically, let me summarize it like this. The prophecy of Daniel said that 483 years would pass, and then the Messiah would be announced. Guess what year Jesus declared his Messiahship? One guess. 483 years after this. Now, at the time of Daniel was not clear in his mind probably what this prophecy was. Many times prophecy and scripture are like that. Prophecy and scriptures are not clear until later. Sometimes prophecies are crystal clear. When God prophesied through the prophet to King Ahab that his wife Jezebel was going to die in a particular way, it was very crystal clear, and it happened exactly how it was prophesied. But this is one of those prophecies where it wasn't crystal clear at the time. But now, with the benefit of hindsight, we can look and we can say, oh, we see, we know, because it matches up. But then there's the question of that last week, that last number seven. And I will just summarize like this. There's a wide variety of opinion within the church today, because we, like the prophet Daniel, look at that and we say, huh, what does this mean? One day it will be revealed to us. Amen? Amen. That is the fullness of time that's referred to in Galatians chapter 4 here. And then it goes on in this little snippet that we just read, that we would receive the adoption as sons and daughters. Let me ask you a question. In the process of adoption, who does the work? Who is the actor, the adult or the child? The adult. That's exactly right. Brothers and sisters in Christ, it's important for us to remember that in the act of redemption, who is the actor? God or us? God is the actor. We are adopted by grace through faith. Amen? Amen. Can we give God a praise clap for that this morning? Amen. So that's the second picture. The first picture is a picture of rebellion, not a nice one to look at. The second picture is God's response to our rebellion, which is the picture of redemption. The third picture is the picture of reception. Now, when you hear the word reception, you think, oh, good. Oh, yes, this is what I'm going to tell you when I decide to receive Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. That's how we talk about it in the Western church so much, the day you decided to receive Jesus. But brothers and sisters in Christ, I want to submit to you this morning that perhaps it's better to talk about the day that God received you as a daughter. The day that God received you as a son. Let's listen to these words from Galatians chapter 4, verse 6. God has sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, through whom we cry, Abba, Father. I want to talk with you this morning a little bit about what's called the declarative work of the Holy Spirit. That sounds like such a big phrase. The declarative work of the Holy Spirit. The declarative work of the Holy Spirit is simply this, that the Holy Spirit speaks, the Holy Spirit acts, the Holy Spirit declares, and where the Holy Spirit speaks and works and acts, that is where the fruit of God comes into existence. And how does the Holy Spirit declare his work? The Holy Spirit declares his work through the Word. Scripture says that faith comes through hearing the Word, and the Word is the message of Christ. Scripture tells us that the Holy Spirit does his declarative work through baptism. Baptism now saves you. This promise is for you and for your children. It says, be baptized for the forgiveness of your sins. The challenge is that many people look at these gifts, the gifts of communion, even of scripture, even of baptism, and they say that these things are not important, that it's up to you to declare, it's up to you to act. But brothers and sisters in Christ, let me ask you to consider this question. If somebody was to give you a brick of gold, would it be valuable? Would it be a brick of gold? Absolutely. But if you receive that brick of gold and you say, this is of no value to me, and you go and throw it into the trash can, what'd you just do? You just threw out a brick of gold. You're a foolish person. Amen? Just because you think it's not important, just because you think it's not valuable, just because you look at the waters of baptism and say, puh, just because you look at this little bit of bread and this little bit of wine up here and say, puh, does that change what it is? This is where we shake our head left and right. Amen? Amen. Brothers and sisters in Christ, we have an amazing mission statement as a church, that we're going to glorify God by spreading the gospel through three things, through our preaching, through our teaching, and through living our daily lives. And this is the fourth and final picture, the picture of royalty. I want to read this last verse for you. Galatians chapter 4, verse 7. So you are no longer a slave, but a son. Did you catch that? So you are no longer a slave. Remember how it started out? You were enslaved to sin. So you are no longer a slave, but a son, a daughter. And if a son or a daughter, then an heir through God. A wise person once said that the most difficult person you're ever going to try to lead in your life is not your wife. Now, she may be a challenge at times. It may be difficult. She may not always appreciate what you're doing. She may give you a hard time. But she's not the most difficult person that you're going to have to try and lead in life. The most difficult person you're going to have to try and lead in life is not your children. They can be difficult. I'm not asking for any amens right now. They can challenge your patience. they can improve your prayer life. Amen? And there, now I did ask for it. But your children are not the most challenging person you're going to have to try and lead. Your employees are not the most challenging person you're going to have to try and lead. And there are going to be some challenging employees that you're going to have to try and lead. They're going to be disreputable. They're going to be dishonest. They're going to be divisive. I don't know how many more D words I can think of. They're going to be all of that and a little bit more. No, the most difficult person that you're going to have to try and lead in life is yourself. And you want to know why? Because here's a simple fact of human nature. We judge other people by their actions. But we judge ourselves by our intentions. Did you catch that? I want to say it again. We judge other people by their actions. But we judge ourselves by our intentions. We have two different sets of standards. And so here's the thing, brothers and sisters in Christ. We can try to discipline ourselves. We can try to educate ourselves. We can try to work harder and work longer and work smarter to try to be a better leader of ourselves. But what this fourth picture should remind us is that we are royalty. We are adopted sons and daughters of the Most High God. And because we are the adopted sons and daughters of the Most High God, then we have the Holy Spirit indwelling us. And that means that we have access to the fountain source of all wisdom and all power. And so, brothers and sisters in Christ, as we look back over the photo album of our lives and we see those pictures of rebellion, let's never forget the picture of redemption. Let's never forget the picture of reception. And please, 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 let us never forget the picture that we are royalty. You know, one thing I've learned about taking pictures is that today with these wonderful little phone cameras, you can take a picture of a son or a daughter, but especially if you've got kids, parents, you always have to do what before you post that picture? You always gotta ask, can I post this picture? And why is that? Because they and many others will wanna look at that picture to make sure it's a picture that they what? That they like. And if you have children, you have to be prepared. There's gonna be many times where they're gonna look at the picture and they're gonna say, I don't like this picture too much. Oh, come on, it's a great picture of us. No, I don't like it too much. And you don't ask them why. That's going in the wrong place. You have to take another picture. Brothers and sisters in Christ, we live in a world where people, when they see themselves in the mirror, when they see that picture of themselves, they're less than happy. God has entrusted us to take these pictures and to share these pictures that he has with those around us. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, keep all of our hearts and all of our minds exactly where it belongs in Christ Jesus. Amen. Guys, let's rise. We're going to continue now with the confession of our faith and the words of the